Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This episode is powered by DenMeditation.com. Though meditation is the primary focus, the bigger goal is for people to understand and love themselves, thus creating more harmony in the community at large. To find out more about Den Meditation's teacher training programs, retreats, and all things Den Meditation, go to DenMeditation.com.
Welcome to Den Talks Podcast. This is Tal, your host and the founder of Den Meditation. You guys, we have Sonia Choquette on today. What an honor. This woman is incredible. She's written over 27 internationally best-selling books. She's an intuitive guide. She's a spiritual teacher, an incredible author, obviously. She has been doing this work since the age of 15, but honestly, we talk a lot about her childhood and a lot about how she was raised. She had an incredible mom. I'm not going to get too much into it because we get into it right away on the episode, so just listen. But what an interesting way. It really makes you think about parenting, and it makes you think about how we treat each other and talk to each other. And then you can take it one step further. How do you talk to yourself? How do you start trusting your own spirit? How do you start trusting your own inner voice? She gives a few really practical ways to do that, to start listening. So if you are somewhere in your life right now where you kind of need an answer, or you're struggling, or just want some guidance, she gives you some practical ways to hear it. So take a listen. Let us know what you think. Please subscribe. It really helps us out. Please leave comments. That is huge. And I hope you like the episode. The first thing I want to say, which is kind of funny, and we will get into all the intuition and all of that, you seem like the happiest human being.
And I'm pretty happy.
Yes, but it like radiates from you, from your smile, from your cheeks, from your eyes, the way you laugh, the way you talk, the way you joke. I mean, it really is like you can feel your aura. I mean, you can feel it like 10 feet off of you.
I'm glad to hear that. I think it's a consequence of living in an aligned with my spirit and with absolute faith and confidence in the universe that everything will always, I'll have whatever I need and be shown whatever I will be in want of as I go along. So just be in the moment.
I mean, it shows. Were you always like that? Like, were you the kid? I know you said, are you one of seven kids?
I'm one of seven kids. I was named after my mom. My spirit has been a bit fearless my whole life. I came marching in very clearly intending to have this life path. Mm. I don't have any recollection of making the decision. It just was, I was here to do. I've been through hell and back for sure, but I've never lost my sense of spirit or confidence or humor in the process, which I'm grateful for. So it's not like I'm some happy camper bouncing off the walls, but I have always stayed connected to my source of reassurance, no matter what's, it's like my mother used to say, and I really live by this, the situation is critical, but never serious.
Ooh.
So it just gives you perspective. It's like, this will all pass. This is all, we're here temporarily. So we can lose ourselves in whatever's unfolding, but don't lose your connection to your spirit.
Now, your mom, remind me, she was part of kind of World War II, right? She was taken away.
She was a child in an evacuation during World War II from Romania, ended up in a German prison of war camp and was perceived to be a gypsy because she was Romanian. So she was there from the time she was 12 until she escaped and actually ended up put back in the camp. And then she was put in a kitchen to work for making food for the German soldiers. And she was very young. And then the Americans came. So she married my father when she was 15.
Wow.
And came to America. So I had a child mother. I think that helped too. She was just, she said she had 7 kids because she wanted friends.
Uh-huh.
And we were her friends. She was really very magical and childlike, and she empowered us very young. She would say, you know, if I, can I do this? Can I do that? She'd say, well, what does your spirit say?
Yeah, that's, you know, that's amazing.
And I do think that was the biggest gift to from the earliest age, maybe because she was so young when she was a mom. I mean, when she was 27, she had all 7 kids. So
well, I still hadn't had my child yet.
It's a different, yeah, it's a different generation. It's a different circumstance. My neighbor had 16 kids, so we weren't even exceptional.
Wow.
So it was just a different era. But rather than parent us from an authoritative place, we were empowered. She's like, I don't know. She was deaf. I don't know. She was deaf, didn't go to school past 12, she didn't listen to authorities. She tuned them out. So she made us authorities too.
Well, I'm sure for her too, what did authority mean?
Well, she didn't speak the language. She didn't go to school. And she said her biggest miracle in life was being deaf. She said, I didn't have to listen to their crazy notions.
Was she born deaf?
No, she lost her hearing during the war. In her camp, she got very sick with rheumatic fever and was untreated, and it left her deaf.
Wow. Did she ever, and I know it sounds like she had such a positive attitude about it, but I mean, I can only imagine, you said she was at least 12.
She was traumatized to the moon and back, but she, in that ordeal, she was always very, very intuitive, and she just grabbed onto her inner guidance as her lifeline and held on to it with all her life force, and is what she told us to do as well. It saved her life. So she made sure that it was going to be something we grabbed onto. And I just happened to be really good at it. I happened to be really, you know, 1 of 7 kids, you want to get your mother's attention. And that's how I did. I was just really, really good at being intuitive and psychic and seeing what's going on. And I got her spirit. We played a lot. She was more of a playmate with me and someone who had the best imagination in the world. Miraculous imagination.
Did she, what number were you in line of the 7?
I was, she actually had 9 kids. She had twins right after me that didn't live. So I was 5 of 9.
Wow. So you're in the middle.
And I was named after her. So
that's so interesting.
I was her namesake.
Mm-hmm. How many girls did she have before you?
She had 1, and my older sister, her first child, she named after the woman who saved her life in the war.
Oh.
So then I was, and I'm Romanian, and in Romania, you do name your daughters after the mother. It's a matriarchal society.
And you did the same, correct?
I did the same. Mm-hmm.
Right. That's really amazing. So you were in the middle, because I do find it fascinating. You kind of just hinted to it. Out of 7 kids, because I'm assuming the other 6 aren't doing what you're doing for professions.
Well, I would say none of them have followed my footsteps, but every one of them is self-employed. Every one of them is an artist. Every one of them is creative. I do have my oldest sister devoted her life to intuitive work, but through healing the body. She was very, very good and still does work healing trauma and healing the body and returning the spirit back to the body. I have my other siblings are all designers, artists,
That's awesome.
And creatives. And we're all never occurred to any of us to work for someone else. We're much too independent.
I was going to say, she gave you so much power of trusting yourself.
But we also were a big family with no money. So it's sort of like, you better figure it out fast. If you want anything in life, you have to create it for yourself.
Where were you raised?
Which I also think was a tremendous, tremendous gift.
I bet. Where were you guys all raised?
In Denver, Colorado.
So she went from Romania
to Germany, to Iowa, where my father's family was, and then they all moved to Denver. It's my father's family. They were farmers, and they lost the farm. So she said it created the perfect conditions for us all to be as creative as possible. Because we had nothing.
She is really the most positive person, which I now can see, because you do radiate that.
She definitely gave us, and I feel her spirit with me all the time. She's passed over. She got COVID and died when she was 92.
Wow.
But she was ready. My dad had passed, and she was ready. But her attitude was, there's always a solution, and life is a game. If you are met with an obstacle, the game is to find the solution. But there's always... She actually taught us that there's 19 solutions to everything.
How'd she come up with that number?
Well, it's part of the cube of space, of Solomon's cube. It's from the mystery schools of Western Kabbalah. It's like north, south, east, west, all the directions, all the crisscrosses. Everyone is a solution. So we were very creative thinkers. And this is something that I have spent my life observing. The greatest loss that I see going on in the world, and what I'm really on a mission from God to combat, is with technology and with phones, you're constantly parked in that left brain, which is not creative, and it's not connective. It isolates you. So people lose their creativity, and your creativity is your superpower. So intuition and creativity are two wings of the same. So I'm really, really emphasize the importance of be present, unplug and tune in.
It's so interesting, because I think a lot of people define creativity only by like being a physical artist or someone in the arts, right? Mm-hmm. But I think what you were hinting at, which I agree, is there is so much creativity in being given a problem and finding a way around it. And it could be, in your mind, an analytical way of getting around it. It could be, who knows? There's so many, like you said, 19 ways to solve a problem. And I think so much has been lost through time in that, because I've talked to people too who are, you know, either studying to hone their psychic, you know, abilities or to be healers, whatever it is. And they always say, my biggest problem is, you know, believing I'm creative.
Well, I think it's unfortunate, because in our school system was developed by the Prussians in like World War I, or even the 1700s, even way before. But it was a military model that taught you to be submissive, cooperative, and follow orders. So creativity was an exception that only if it could be measured by an outward manifestation of art. So they get the word being artistic with being creative mixed up. Being creative is being a problem solver and being resourceful and resilient and finding ways to succeed. And whatever situation you're presented with, to master it and to make yourself, you know, successful with whatever challenge. And so that's where I think the problem is, in semantics, and then what goes along with it. It's like, when they say I'm not creative, they might be saying, well, I'm not artistically very comfortable. because I think everybody's an artist too.
Yeah, I know. I liked how you were finding that word instead of saying inclined. You were like waiting.
No, I always look for the right word. It's like because I think everybody actually is born an artist and a creative.
Mm.
We get it sort of shamed out of us and judged out of us. Like, for example, when I was in third grade, I was the only kid that was pulled out of class at Christmas and said I couldn't be in the choir because I couldn't sing. And to this day, that was such a wound. That was like, you took my voice away. And I eventually went as an adult back and tried to find that nun.
Did you find her?
I didn't find her, but I registered my complaint with the nunnery. And that it's fine for me. I'm strong and resilient and I overcame it. But for someone who has less support and less encouragement like that than I did, you could forever bury an art, bury an expression by someone's careless, rude remark. So I'm a protector of the spirit and I'm a protector of the creative in all people. Part of, I think, my soul work is to restore your soul's lost gifts.
Do you feel like, I know you read energy really well too. Do you feel like you see that? Like you can see it when you work with clients too?
Instantly.
Can you like see what's lost?
Instantly. In fact, I think my primary job is to see other people accurately and mirror them back to themselves. Because what they have is a funhouse mirror version of who they are. And they're lost in that confusion. And all we want is to be seen accurately. All
That's
we want
so
is
true.
To be felt and seen and supported authentically. That is what our souls want.
The support part, I think, is huge because some people don't like hearing, you know, because we all have parts of us we also pretend don't exist, right? And then sometimes it comes out and we're like, ooh, okay, I got to figure out how to assimilate that and work with that.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's mirrored to you with support, then yes, you're like, oh my God, I'm seen. Like you see all of
me. Even, you know, I really have to say I had quite a unicorn mom, because even our shadow, she would say, well, right idea, wrong choice. You know, she would say,
can you give me an example?
One time my brother got arrested for across the street. He was stealing cases of pop. We called it pop in the Midwest, soda. And he was very resourceful. He was going to sell it. He stole it off the truck when he was delivering it in. The truck was left open and my little brother skidded over there and was walking away with a 12 pack and he got arrested. He got stopped and the police were called. He was maybe 9. It's a big drama deal. And my mom said, what were you doing? And he said, I was going to sell it. Needed some money. And she said, I get that. Right idea, but you can't just help yourself to other people's stuff. So wrong solution, right idea. And that was how she handled things like that. We got to find a better idea instead of
that was
rage and shame and drama. And it was sort of like right motivation, wrong solution. And so I think that's another really important way that I was raised is like, don't shame and condemn yourself for your shadow stuff. Just realize you're trying. It's just not an effective choice.
It's so interesting because my daughter is 8 right now. So, you know, you're always presented. And I've been talking to some other moms because we just moved somewhere new. And I've said that. I'm like, they're going to make mistakes. Like, it's our job to help, you know, direct. It's like, depending on the personalities, like I know my child's personality. So I'm like, she's going to offend someone without realizing it. She's going to do this because it's my job just to be like, hey, maybe just stop for a second and think how that might be taken in. But
of course.
I can't tell her, don't be you or don't be friends with that person.
Well, exactly.
Or
if she has a strong, fiery personality, that is a choice her soul made to come in with that quality. So you just have to, it's like learning how to use fire. You don't burn the house down. You have to learn how to
create,
direct it. And she got a good mom. She chose a mom who sees her.
She wouldn't always agree with that, but yeah.
But I have to say, the biggest tragedy that I deal with people is in all my years of over 50 years of working with people is how much loss and suffering comes from that my people didn't see me. Mm. And my people didn't recognize and celebrate me. And that is probably the number one soul injury that we have.
Because it's the people that
my parents, my family, where I come from, didn't get me.
And then you feel like you don't know who you are.
And you feel like you don't belong.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of reframing and help people revisit those conclusions to say, okay, well, you came here. Yeah, they didn't get you. You were the ugly duck, but this was a pond that had some things in it that you could use. So let's go look for the things that brought you to this pond.
Nice.
If it wasn't the ducks, there's got to be something else we got to find here.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like, you know, your children are grown now, correct?
My children are grown. They've actually already written their own first book. My two daughters are coaches. They wrote a book called You Are Amazing, published with Hay House. They're both coaches. They're in their 30s. And they are amazing. They are brilliant coaches. They are brilliant intuitives. They're different. My older daughter she's a joy guide. If you think I'm happy, she is here to heal the inner child. And she's so deep and compassionate and so safe that she helps people who have been really deeply traumatized very quickly. And my other daughter is Hawkeye. She can pick a piece of fleck off your collar a million miles away and say, this is the problem. So they're super skilled, I think, more than I am.
Wow. Well, because I was going to ask you, but it sounds like that's the answer, because you talk so fondly of your mom. I mean, and it's really mm-hmm. sweet, and not just of her as a person, but of how she parented. Do you feel like you, in turn, passed that along?
I definitely did. And my daughters are my best friends. And we have a podcast called It's All Related, where we talk about weekly the wildness of living in an intuitive family. We call it the... It's sort of like being in the nudist colony because nobody's secrets. We see and sense everything. And it's my greatest blessing. My daughters are my greatest blessing. They are my best friends. In fact, I just came back from New Orleans, where my one daughter lives. And when she came to visit me just in October for my birthday, she surprised me by taking me to a karaoke bar. And we brought wigs and glasses. And we just... surprised me, and we just played for 2 hours singing every crazy song we could think of.
And you sang?
Oh, terribly, at the top of my lungs.
Good. But she didn't stop you, that nun.
No, she sings just as terribly as I do. And we think every time we finished a song, we'd say, nailed it. Nailed it.
That's so fun. So tell me, that's actually really funny, the idea, and I'm sure you had this in your childhood too, of being in a family that's super intuitive. Do you have any funny stories or any moments where it's like you almost aren't even probably talking sometimes because you guys just know what's happening?
Well, what was fun for us and just frustrated my dad to no end, he worked at a department store that's no longer existing called Montgomery Ward's. Yeah. And he sold farm equipment, except it turned into the toy store at Christmas time. So we had these fantastic Christmases because on Christmas Eve, he would get, like 2 days before Christmas, he would get so many toys that didn't sell. They would let the employees have them. Well, we didn't know that, but we figured out my dad had the toys. And it was our annual Christmas sport to psychically find the toys before Christmas morning. And we would always find their hiding spots, always. And I remember one year we found them. He got smart and put all the toys in the trunk of his car and in the back seat of his car. And we were all out there sneaking around at 1 a.m. We were little. We were probably 9, 10, 8, 9, 7, 8, 9, 10. We were 1 year in a row. And he came in, he dressed up as Santa and found us, came rushing out and found us and said, "You're not going to get these toys anymore because you ruined it." But it was fun because he dressed up as Santa.
I know, that's hilarious.
It was so great. It was so great. We laugh to this day. Because he was not that kind of guy normally.
Oh, okay. You know, I was about to ask that.
He was not Mr. Fun Loving. My mom was the role. He was the rock, you know. So he was more low key and quiet and held it together. And so this was such a dramatic departure from his. He let his inner child join the fun. It was great.
I mean, it's your family is so interesting because clearly your dad, like you said, is the rock, but he chose your mom, and how they met is really interesting. And then clearly they were meant to be together, but
it was epic. They were epic. They were an epic, epic, epic love story. And they were married 65, 70 years till my dad died. I mean, it was meant to be. And their love story was the center of our life. We were the extras in the movie. We were not the center of the movie.
That's kind of beautiful.
But what was lovely is we had each other. They were focused on themselves, and we swirled around them. And it was kind of like a band of gypsies for sure.
So they were right when they labeled her a gypsy.
Yeah, we were certainly. And she was put in the camp with the gypsies. So she brought to our family all their habits. So we lived with many of the gypsy family habits.
Like what? So it's very mystical.
It's very mystical and beautiful. And it's just became part of our unique family culture.
That's incredible. So again, you were raised literally from the minute you could walk, just honing into your own spirit.
Absolutely. It was expected. It's like if you were born in a family of musicians, you would be expected to be musical.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Growing businesses and finance professionals, you need Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software. It's powered by the Bill Divvy corporate card, which helps growing companies scale with credit lines of $500 to $15 million, automated expense reports, and as many virtual cards as you need. For a limited time, get $500 when you get started with Bill Spend and Expense. Request a demo at bill.com/get500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank, member FDIC.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Not because you had to try. It's just you were swimming in music. It was a language. It was a way of communicating. So for us, what your spirit felt was a way of communicating. We felt vibes. We felt energy. The non-physical world was just as lit, was real, if not more so than the physical world. We didn't make a distinction.
Did your mom sign? Did she learn how to sign?
No,
how did she communicate?
No, because she wasn't born deaf. She lip read.
Oh, wow.
And she was psychic. She would say all the time, I know what you're thinking. And she was right. I know where you were. She didn't miss anything.
Wow.
You know, there's an interesting book. I don't remember the name. I might be wrong. Called Let There Be Light, about this young man who was 8 years old in France. And in a school accident, he lost his sight. And his parents raised him as if that were perfectly normal. And he actually had developed such a strong intuitive second sight. He became a spy in World War II. And that was kind of like my mom. She lost her hearing, but it was no big deal. She never, ever considered it a liability. She considered it protection. But she didn't miss anything. She didn't miss anything.
And so when you would communicate with her, would you speak? And she would just read your lips?
She'd read our lips. But if I'd be mumbling over here and my back and over telling her to go to, she'd say, I heard that.
Ah!
Honestly. And she was right. She did hear it.
It's like, so, you know, when kids, like, you know how you always people
mumble.
Say, to, or, well, I mumbled and my child mumbles. But you know how when parents like to threaten the kids, like, oh, I can see everything, right?
And she I know, did.
Right.
She it's, did. Here's, I'll tell you another exciting, interesting story. It was very dramatic. My older brother, Neil, I have a brother, Neil, is 2 years older than me. And it was during the David Bowie, Mick Jagger, 70s rock and roll era. And he went to see the Rolling Stones in Denver up in the mountains. And big deal. And at 1:32 in the morning, the phone rang. And of course, we were a big dramatic family, so everybody's up. And the police said, your son's been in an accident and he didn't make it. And you've got to come to the hospital. And my dad was just took the call because my mom couldn't be on the phone. And he turned to my mom and said that. And she said, it's not him. And my dad said, what do you mean? She said, it's not him. And he said, okay, you're in shock. And she said, it's not him.
I have the chills.
And 10 minutes later, he called. And he said, I've been in an accident. And my dad said, well, we just got a call that you were dead. And he said, no, it wasn't me. I took my coat off and put it on the guy. And my driver's license was in the coat of the coat. And they said, they thought it was me. And I've been telling them, it's not me. That's not me. It was all happened back to back. And that was my life growing up.
I mean, that's amazing. She just knew. It's not him.
She was very calm. And she said, it's not him. Just like I'm saying, he's okay.
So,
and that was our life.
How has your relationship with her changed, if at all, since she's passed on?
She's with me all the time. She's with me. We laugh so much. Plus, my 3-year-old granddaughter is my mother personified. I mean,
really?
She even does the same expressions and. So she definitely is in the mix, and I feel like she's with me all the time. So do my daughters. I feel she's with me all the time. It's just like if I live in Europe and she lives in Colorado, she's with me. I feel like it's the same. She's just there.
I love that. Okay, so you're the queen of intuition. You've coached so many people, and you're magnetic. So, and you also have such really practical ways of teaching people how to kind of quiet the mind and reconnect with their own spirit, which ultimately is what gives you guidance. Was there any time in your life that you felt like you didn't listen? I mean, because for you, it was a muscle that you always had.
No. I can't imagine. That's like saying, did you ever walk into traffic with your eyes wide open? It's so strong for me to listen to my inner guidance. I can't imagine not listening to it. However, there's many times where I have listened to it and it upsets everybody else.
Like what?
Like when I was married, my husband and I wanted to buy a house, and I found the house and said, this is the perfect house. And it was the perfect house. So he was like, oh, I don't know. It's, you know, expensive. He was always very cautious, and I was always very bold. And so I said, we're going to buy the house, talk our way into it. We're supposed to close on the house. And I woke up one day and I said, we can't buy the house. And he said, what do you mean you can't buy the house? I said, something changed. We can't buy it. And he said, we have to buy the house. You talked to us. You were going. And I said, I absolutely am not going to buy the house. He said, you're nuts. I said, not nuts. I just am feeling something that isn't obvious yet. So he said, well, you tell them. You get us out of this. You're going to get us in legal trouble. So I called the realtor and said, please give my apologies to the sellers, but we're not buying the house. And the reason why is because I have a bad psychic feeling.
Don't you love that?
And she flipped. She goes, I went to bat for you. And I said, I know. I'm so sorry. And I'm not being difficult. Is something changed? I don't know what's changed. So they didn't want to deal with me because I said I was psychic. And it was a hot market. They didn't want to waste the time. So we lost our money. We had to put $1,000 down. And we forfeited that. And I said, I'm willing, which it was worth $100,000 to us at the time. So that house went. We were to close on that house on June 30th. On August 1st, for 7 weeks, it rained in Chicago and that house flooded and was destroyed.
Wow.
And we did not own that house. And the realtor called me later and said, you're weird. You are scary, but I'm glad you didn't buy that house. So I've had a lot of that, and I'm okay. I call that. I even wrote that in my book, Trust Your Vibes, Dancing in the Fire.
You know, what you're so good at, and I know this is what you teach people, and I know for you, it's why you teach, because you were raised with it. So you, like you just told me, you have no choice but to trust it. Mm-hmm. I think for so many of us, it is that idea of like, when am I being crazy? When is that a real thing I need to listen to? You know,
what I think it really is am I willing to be that responsible for my life? Mm. I think that it really boils down to, it's my life. Am I going to make a choice I can live with or not? And we've been taught that other people need to make our choices for us. And if we don't get their approval, we're in trouble. But the day you decide, I'm going to listen and I'm going to stand by what I feel to be true, no matter what, is the day your life becomes powerful.
It's so interesting because I feel like, and I am very strong that way, but mm-hmm. I do have my Achilles heel, which I know other people do too. It's this like sensitivity of how it's going to affect someone else. So for instance, in like a real estate situation, even though that's mm-hmm. crazy because it's so expensive, it affects you too. Like sometimes you're like, oh my God, I'm screwing them. Now that was a hot market. So you mm-hmm. knew they were going to be fine. But like, I will sometimes be like, oh, but I'm screwing them. And do I really have a real reason? Like, how do I know what I mean?
I don't go there. But here's how I feel. If I get a vibe, it's something.
Right. You trust it.
I couldn't explain it, but it's not, I'm not hallucinating. It's something that needs to be respected. It's something. And I'm willing to give it the time it needs to become obvious. And I'm also willing to not need it to become obvious, but I
right, 'cause you trust
truly
them.
I truly believe, like, for example, with that house, I'm sure somebody somewhere was insured in that house. It got sold. And so I never thought I was hurting anyone, and I'm okay with disappointing people.
Yes. That's
There's a difference.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. You know, if you grow up psychic, you're going to not be the most popular person anyway. So I was already used to having a lot of judgment on me. So I guess that was another benefit.
Is that true?
Okay. Yeah. Well, think about it. 50 years ago, yeah. I was out in the field. I was, the field now moved to me, but 50 years ago, I was way out there. And it's like, people talk about discrimination. It's like, yeah, you can be anti-gay, anti-black, but the whole world's anti-psychic. I mean, that cuts through everything. They all thought I was nuts. So
outwardly,
I was used to that. I was used to a lot of public judgment and public rejection and a lot. So right. What I say is I learned to have what's called snake medicine, which Ooh. Is you get bitten so many times, you become immune.
You know, and I think that's a huge gift though, because mm-hmm. I mean, I have found sometimes I feel like the angels are just helping me. I remember, and I think I've told this story similar real estate wise, but I get feelings too. And I'm like, this is the house or whatever. And I remember we had moved to the East Coast from the West Coast and we were planning on picking a whole new area. And I felt very strongly about it. I'm like, this is crazy. Like I came downstairs. I'm like, we need to sell our house in Los Angeles. We need to look in this area and we need to find a place that we can do this, build community, and the house has to have all these things. It was very specific. Mm-hmm. And God bless Alec, he went along with it. And so we started our search and we were doing the search and made offers on two places that felt through for different reasons over time. And it was after the second one, which I was so convinced was going to happen. I'm like, this is the synergy. This is everything. When it fell through, usually I have a positive, I all of a sudden went blank. Mm. And so he was like, okay, so what's next? I'm like, nothing. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I just don't know what we're supposed to do. Like all of a sudden it went away. Like all this direction, it's gone. He's like, I've never heard you say that. I'm like, I know. So we stay put for a while, which was on the Cape. And he was like, really? Which made him happy because that's always what he wanted to do. But he's like, I've just never heard you say you don't have. I'm like, I know. It's really weird. It went from like the strongest feeling to after that one went away to being like, nope, you're not supposed to look here anymore. You're just done. Like, and mm-hmm. but with no plan replacing it. And that was what was so interesting, which I have found happening to me more, which I'd love to talk to you about, because sometimes it almost feels like a disconnection to me.
I think it's important for people to understand that what we're doing is we're riding waves of energy. They're not fixed. And like I said, something changed. The weather pattern changed right. in the case of me. So it's not like it's a fixed thing. Like we're moving in this direction, but something changed. So I even talk about, we have red light intuition, stop, don't do it. We have green light, yep. go for it. And then we have pause, yellow light, just wait. Let the world unravel a bit more and then I'll see the next step. We have to create that place of pause and say, okay, the guidance is nothing. Wait, that's guidance too.
Yeah, and it was a good 2 more years before any nugget of any info started coming in or feelings of like, oh, maybe we should look here. And it's
when you're working with energy and you're working on the spirit realm, we're timeless.
Right.
So 2 years is the same as 2 blinks of an eye. Right. So in the third dimension, things move very slowly, but there is definitely something I'm really emphasizing with a lot of people now is leave room for the pause. We have these phones and instant this and that. We expect it right now. And sometimes intuition is saying, wait, just wait.
Right.
The garden has to grow before you pick the fruit. Just wait.
Talk a little bit about, because you're talking about third dimension. And I know you talk a lot about mm-hmm. we're currently moving into the fourth dimension and we as humans are changing.
Well, the third dimension is a perception of only the 5 senses being involved, and we're only perceiving the physical realm. And when we perceive the physical realm, the illusion is that we're separate. So the fundamental conclusion, if you only live from the world of appearances, is that I'm alone and I have to be afraid. Mm. And it's a struggle. It's me against everyone else. The fourth dimension we've moved into for some time now, when the quantum physics field opened up, is we start to recognize, well, wait a minute. The truth is we are energetic beings and we are influencing each other energetically. We are aware that there's more to us than meets the eye. We are aware that we can influence things and we can perceive energy beyond our 5 senses. That's the fourth dimension. But the observer of that dimension is still your ego. It's still me, separate me, looking at energy, studying the world. So it's a bit messy. it's not real clear. So I call that like the train station of life. You know, everybody's going to their trains, but it's a bit messy in the inside of the station. So what you need to do is get to the fifth dimension, which is when you recognize that you are a spiritual being and we're all connected. And we begin to see the subtle connections. That's where you start to see, I belong here, or you go there, or that's not a vibrational match, or this works really well. But you're not perceiving it with your physical senses, you're perceiving it with your entire body. It's listening to energy, and you're moving with it like you're surfing. You're moving with the energy, and you're learning to ride the energy, but your ego is not the observer. Your spirit is the observer. And the spirit of you doesn't judge others. They're not other. They're us. We're all having an experience, and we're all in different places in that experience, but we start to recognize the connection we have with other people, with the planet, with the cosmos. So that's the fifth dimension. And the good news is we're all marching there pretty quickly, because everywhere we look in the third dimension is not very pleasant. So we got to get the heck out of here.
So when you talk about the ego, when you started working, or just observing people, I would say, because I'm assuming part of like this training your mom gave you just naturally, you've had probably a very healthy relationship with your ego from the get-go, because it feels like that's part of it, is this balance of understanding how to allow your ego to be but not run the show in order to really connect with.
And in addition to having a wonderful mother, I had two master teachers I started working with when I was a child. I had a metaphysical teacher who taught me all the psychic arts, clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, how to do psychometry, how to do readings. He was a master teacher from England. His name was Charlie. And then I had a metaphysical master teacher named Dr. Tully, who taught me spiritual law. So I was with my teachers through my entire adolescence.
How did you match up with them at such a young age?
Well, Charlie knew my mom. My mom was the one in search for peers and colleagues. So she found them. And then I just very precociously said, I want you to teach me. And they both agreed. I was sitting with a group of adults and me.
How old were you?
12.
I mean,
till I was 20, till I left home. I mean, so that's why it was just my destiny.
Completely.
It was what I wanted. It was where I wanted to be.
So, I mean, that's amazing. That's really amazing. But when you then worked with them and your mom and you're learning kind of, I mean, I guess, how interesting is it for you to look at people who haven't had that training and to see the relationship they have with their ego?
Well, I've learned to teach things very simply.
Very.
Your ego is your human animal self. So I call it your barking dog. Mm-hmm. So it's the dog that's patrolling the borders and trying to protect the house and snaps at everything that goes by. That's your ego, but that's not the master of the house. That's your spirit. So you don't let the dog poop all over the house, and you don't shoot the dog. You train the dog, mm-hmm. You train your ego, but you know, that's my ego. And so that's not going to be my best self. And I always say, name your barking dog. So my barking dog is Fifi the poodle. She likes to she likes to travel and live in Paris and shop, but she's not my spirit. She has a very subjective, limited point of view and can be a real real snot. And I know when I'm in that energy, and then I know when I'm in my spirit, because it's quiet, and it's peaceful, and it's non-judgmental, and it sees more. So I just say, name your dog and name your spirit, and you can flip those channels back and forth pretty naturally, because that's how you're hardwired.
And talk to them.
Yeah. And you can feel your barking dog is contracted. You feel it. It's noisy. It leaves you stressful. Your spirit is expanded. It's open. It's quiet. And it's full of good ideas. Peaceful.
Yeah. One of the things I love that you talk about is just acknowledging you have this ability to talk to your spirit or trust your spirit, because the minute you actually just admit it, like you said, you picked up the phone and called the realtor and were like, what did you say? I have a psychic feeling. And this
I did.
Yeah.
I knew that would get me out of it, because who wanted to deal with that at the time? It's like, no way. She's nuts.
What did your husband say when the house flooded?
He admitted very begrudgingly. Because unlike your husband, my husband was never on board. I scared him. I just scared him too much with my bold and unabashed willingness to do. So he liked the ride, but he could never get comfortable. So he was like, okay, well, I guess you saved the day. But he never really would give it up. And I always recognized that it wasn't about me. I just felt, I would say all the time, sorry, you're so scared all the time. It must be awful.
And what was he scared of, do you think?
Control. Losing control. Just losing control. Well, most people are. And I'd say, well, you hooked up on a ride with me, so you might as well. It's like being at the amusement park. Go for it. You're on the roller coaster. You can't jump off now.
Well, clearly he liked something because you're not hiding who you are.
No, he liked right. The adventure. But eventually it got bigger than he could manage. And I understood that. I am a
force.
And it's just my soul.
You are a force.
So, but I'm a force of good, but it's a fearless, I'm allergic to fear and control. It's like, gotta go. I'm allergic.
That's interesting.
I'm not an easy person to partner if you're a controlling person.
How about this? I would love, before we go, if you could just give a practice that's really practical for people to use, to just take a moment when they're, because really, I know we talk so much about you, which I'm so happy we did, because you're just such a beautiful human. But a reminder to everyone, like, your whole point is every single person's born this way.
This is the way we're hardwired. So the first thing I want to say is you have these inner senses very strongly. You have a gut that feels, you have a heart that knows, you have a throat that can hear truth and non-truth vibrationally. Your skin is even able to perceive. So start there, that this is normal. And I'm hardwired, and it's not a matter of learning this. It's a matter of turning on the switches. It's like the light is there. With that, really quickly, your intuition will guide you where you're genuinely open to being guided. That is very much an important point. A lot of us are not open to something different than our point of view. Okay. So if you're genuinely open, then what I recommend, it works every time, is first empty the garbage. And the garbage is to say out loud, I'm afraid of, fill in the blank. I'm afraid I'm wrong. I'm afraid I'll lose control. I'm afraid I won't get hired. I'm afraid I'll be alone. I'm afraid I'll be sick. I'm afraid they won't like me. Just empty until you get quiet. And put your hand on your heart and say it. But my spirit says, and answer out loud quickly. Because it just comes up and out, and then feel it. You don't have to listen to it. You don't have to just feel what you say. You can't think it. You have to voice it. And then if it's true intuition, everything in your body relaxes instantly. Even if the message isn't what you want to hear, it's truth for you. So, and the whole thing is, it works very quickly every time if you're genuinely open for guidance.
I was going to say, how does it work with people who are just like riddled with anxiety?
That's empty the garbage. I'm anxious. I'm afraid I'll make a mistake. I won't be loved. I'm afraid. Just say it until there's no more. You have to do that first. Then take a breath. I call it two breaths and a slide. You breathe in and then you exhale like you're blowing out candles. Two times. And you see yourself emptying all that anxiety. And then the third breath, you breathe in and you slide into your heart space, which is where your intuition is waiting to talk to you. So two breaths and a slide, but first empty the garbage. It's even better if you do this while you're walking. Because you're moving the energy, you're grounding the adrenaline and the anxiety. You're getting centered in your body and out of your head. And it's that simple because it's that natural.
And on your big, I know you love dancing and you say that's a big way into your intuition and spirit as well.
Is when you think about what is dancing, is allowing your ego to give up control and let your spirit take over. That is what, you know, if you're not moving around like a, like you're shuffling around, but you're really surrendering, that is your spirit moving you. That's this expression, the spirit moved me. If you spend a good 20 minutes dancing to your favorite music, whatever solution you're looking for will pop in within the next hour.
Wow.
Pretty guaranteed. Pretty guaranteed.
That's amazing.
But you got to really throw yourself into it.
20 minutes.
20 minutes. Then don't even have to ask what the question is. It'll just pop. It'll just pop in. The answer will just show up. You'll just know. You won't think. You'll know.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
I really
it's been a pleasure.
No, you're wonderful. Thank you for spending the time and happy holidays. And thank you.
And you're very lucky to have such a beautiful playmate with your daughter and partner, and just keep shining the light for other people because you're their example.
Thank you.
All my love.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Growing businesses and finance professionals, you need Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software. It's powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card, which helps growing companies scale with credit lines of $500 to $15 million, automated expense reports, and as many virtual cards as you need. For a limited time, get $500 when you get started with Bill Spend and Expense. Request a demo at bill.com/get500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank, member FDIC.